The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Well, it may still sound like science fiction, but asteroids are a real threat to Earth. Some military officials think old but still functional nuclear weapons could be used to destroy or deflect a big one on a collision course with the Earth. NASA has even revealed details of its plan to capture an asteroid and board it for study.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? It's unbelievable. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you saw this or not, there was a report that a big rogue astronaut was going to come close to the Earth. Close, of course, is a very relative term when it comes to space. This asteroid, according to NPR, passed between the moon and the Earth. That seems pretty close to me, right? Cleared the Earth by 100,000 miles, but it was large enough that, let's say it hit the Earth in a populated area, it would have done some serious damage. Now, fortunately, it passed harmlessly by. But, of course, that is not the only potential harmful object out there. There's a whole belt of asteroids between Mars and Jupiter for, you know, the most part that stay out there. But there's always these rogue asteroids. The European Space Agency says that there are about 1,450 near-Earth objects, these NEOs, for which a non-zero impact probability has been computed. In other words, there are about 1,450 asteroids floating around that have at least some probability of impacting our planet. Of course, NASA and a number of other agencies have developed plans on how to deal with those, including, as you heard in that clip there, sending probes that can crash into those objects, try to nudge it. I'm sure there's a lot of other theories underway. Dr. Tom Jones, who is a planetary scientist, he's a space consultant, a professional speaker. He's been with us many times in the past. He's a veteran astronaut who completed 4 space shuttle missions, 3 spacewalks, and has authored a number of books, has spoken to us about this in the past. In fact, if you want to learn a little bit more about him, too, he wrote 2 books I'd recommend. One is called Skywalking. The other is called Ask the Astronaut. And you can find out more about him just by going to astronauttomjones.com. And Tom, it's good to have you back with us today. Thank you for your time. Thanks for your service.
You're welcome. Very interesting topic, this whole idea of sense.
Yeah, I know it's something that's been very important for you. We've talked about this in the past. I know you went to a conference on rogue asteroids. Was there anything that stood out to you that the general population should know? And maybe paint a scenario for us for how probable and improbable this is, and even the historical perspective on it.
Oh, sure. Well, yes, last week in Vienna, Austria, was the International Planetary Defense Conference, and it was held at the United Nations complex there, and I was able to attend the conference with about 200 other experts in planetary defense. So yeah, everybody is actually struck in the future. We will be struck.
Hey, Dr. Jones, I don't know whether you can hear me or not. I'm going to just put you on hold for one quick second. And Maggie, maybe we can reconnect to this connection. We're running into a little bit of difficulty with a connection here. If you want to join us, too, I'll give you the number here. You're always welcome to join us. It's 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Taking a look at 5 rogue asteroids that may cross the Earth's path. And, you shouldn't be worried. Again, these are pretty decent distance, but the Space Agency has released its latest of the next 5 asteroid approaches. And those are, these rocks are sure to keep an eye out for. But to better understand what's going on in outer space, I think it's vital to take a look at these, to understand them. From gargantuan space rocks the size of, let's say, an airplane to some of those tiny home-sized rocks. These things are hurtling through the cosmos. There are 5 rocks, as they say, that are going to be making a very quick trip to Earth. I think some of them just zipped by. I think it was April 5th and 6th. So just taking a look. I mean, what's this mean for us, and what kind of threat do they hold? If you're just tuning in, I'm joined today by Dr. Tom Jones, and we're taking a little bit about it. Doctor, let's pick up where we left off. We missed some of what you had to say, so I'll just throw it right back to you.
Okay, great. We must have had an asteroid pass between you and me that blocked the radio signal.
You got it.
Yes, there is this likelihood, 100% likelihood, that in the future, if we do nothing, we'll be struck by another dangerous asteroid. And so here in the 21st century, we have the space skills to apply to this problem. We can actually use space technology to nudge rogue asteroids off course. And, you know, as you mentioned, the near approaches, the close approaches, the near misses by a variety of asteroids in the recent months remind us that we are going to be struck again, and we're sort of flying around the sun in a cosmic shooting gallery. So that's why this whole field of planetary defense is so active right now. Last week, there was an international conference in Vienna, Austria, sponsored by the UN, and I was there attending with about 150 other experts in planetary defense, talking about the latest results on asteroid detections and cataloging and early warning from a rogue asteroid, and then what would we use to deflect such an asteroid. And last September, we had the big example of NASA smacking into a harmless asteroid with a high-speed bullet called the DART mission, which succeeded in changing the orbit of that harmless asteroid. And that is a demonstration of one of the techniques that we can use to save the Earth in the future. So we can go into any of those areas if you'd like. It's a fascinating field, and the news is getting better slowly, but we have a lot more work to do, especially on the early warning side.
Is it possible that we may, I don't know, experience something that we don't even see coming, something from behind the sun? I mean, how I know we're tracking the skies, but is there a possibility that there may be something that's not even on our radar that may show up with short notice?
Yeah, of course. So just to give you an idea of the problem, you know, we know of about 30,000 near-Earth asteroids today. And the numbers of asteroids that are out there in the inner solar system that could destroy a city, let's say, number about a million. So we're only at the 3% level of knowledge about the asteroids that could strike us. And as you say, the most dangerous ones are the ones we don't know about, and they could be approaching from the day side of the Earth where, you know, of course, ground-based telescopes don't work when the sun is in the sky. So we do need a space-based telescope. NASA has one on tap called the Near-Earth Object Surveyor mission, which is supposed to launch in about 4 years. But we can also enhance our ground-based search capability, too, because the key is early warning, getting about 10 years or more of warning so that you can actually mount a space mission to deflect such an object.
And do we have the technology now, you think, to effectively protect the planet?
I would say not effectively yet. We have inklings and hints of how we might do that. So last September's DART mission, which smacked into the asteroid Dimorphos, very successfully altered its orbit. That was one technique. It's called kinetic impact, or shooting a bullet into an object and changing its speed so it shows up late or early and misses the Earth. That's one thing that we've just checked out for the first time. But there are other techniques that we should test in space with actual spacecraft. There's ways to nudge an asteroid just by spraying rocket exhaust on it for months or up to a year or two. There are other ways to use a laser to create a little rocket effect by making little puffs of vaporized soil on the asteroid, which nudge it in the opposite direction. That's called laser ablation. And, you know, there's everybody's Hollywood favorite, which is called the nuclear explosive device. And we can't really test that here close to Earth, but we might put together all the specifications for such a mission and work out the details.
I always thought that was too dangerous because I thought it would rain down instead of one giant, you know, asteroid, a lot of others that could wreak havoc all over the planet.
Yeah, that's the Armageddon Hollywood version. You know, what the idea is you would find these objects well in advance of their impacts, like I said, 10 to 20 years out. And then you could put a spacecraft on the way out to meet it millions of miles from Earth, far from any effect on our planet. And then you could use a nuclear explosive device, which is pretty effective in terms of its energy delivered, to change the orbit of that asteroid. So that is a technique that we could use. And at our conference last week, you know, we heard from a lot of explosives experts, excellent physicists, who say that, yes, we have that kind of package that we could send to an asteroid, and we could effectively divert objects that we couldn't divert with the smaller hypervelocity bullet technique.
Yeah. Is there anything, Doctor, that concerns you that you should be, that we should be worried about? Is there anything, you know, going on in the skies there? Yeah, maybe it's an asteroid. Maybe it's all the space debris that's up there right now. Maybe it's the threat of, you know, our adversaries putting stuff up, having some sort of space war. I mean, what concerns you? What are your concerns?
Yeah, there's three or four good topics to jump into. So I think that we should not be worried about our human society being disrupted or destroyed by an asteroid in our lifetimes. That's very, very unlikely. So the most likely event from an asteroid that's going to happen is a small one will strike the Earth, and it will be without warning right now because we haven't cataloged enough of them. But the good news is that Earth is three-quarters water, and so it's likely to land in the oceans. And if it's a small object, that won't do much damage to anything. And if it does land over land, most of the time, a small object will burn up in the atmosphere. Things up to about 40 yards across would burn up in the atmosphere. But if they come in at exactly the wrong angle and at too high a speed, that same object, like we saw 10 years ago in Chelyabinsk, Russia, can generate a blast wave that could damage or destroy a city. So we have that probability of being struck again in the near term by a small object that could potentially do some damage, but the odds are low. You've never heard of anybody being killed by an asteroid. That's because it's a very infrequent event. Yeah. So let's keep it as a long-term concern that we have time to prepare for, but we should do the public safety due diligence of going to discover these asteroids as rapidly as we can. That's problem number one. Space debris, as individuals, we don't need to worry about that, but satellite operators and certainly the U.S. and its dependence on satellite communications and reconnaissance, the Space Force needs to be concerned about adversaries who might want to threaten our spacecraft constellations up there, everything from GPS to communications to photo recon. We need to protect those and deter adversaries from attacking them. And then on the space debris front, if you're going to put a space station up in orbit today, you need to design it for impacts from space junk, because that's a growing problem that isn't going to go away in the next 20 to 30 or 40 years because of the amount of stuff that's being put up by China and by Western constellation owners who are putting up all kinds of internet satellites like Elon Musk's Starlink network. Those satellites are a concern for the long-term potential of space debris strikes.
That's fascinating. Yeah, I know Musk is doing that to give internet to people in areas that don't have it. Is that a problem? How do you view that?
Yeah, well, he and other companies that are similarly sized, and China's announced a network too, they're putting up tens of thousands of satellites. And all of them have to be either dumped into the atmosphere at the end of their life so they'll burn up harmlessly, or boosted into some high-altitude graveyard orbit where they never come down and they don't interfere with space stations and so on at low altitude. But, not every satellite that gets put up there works. And so it's the failed derelict satellites that create a collision potential with the International Space Station and raise the risk to other spacecraft like the Artemis mooncraft and other piloted spacecraft that are run by commercial providers. So it's a serious problem, and you have to armor up your spacecraft. You have to make it heavier and more expensive to resist debris strikes, and that's going to be the case until everybody on this planet agrees to stop seeding near-Earth space with junk.
Yeah, I know you got to run. One final question, because I'm concerned about the future of warfare. We depend on space for so much of that. We know China's becoming more aggressive, and you're saying they could possibly take out our satellites. They can do that from the ground, too. I know Russia filed anti-satellite rockets. There's lasers. How do we protect our assets in space?
Yeah, you're right. Ground-based anti-satellite missiles can be launched on short notice. Powerful ground-based lasers could dazzle or blind our satellites, and they can jam our communications. For example, the GPS satellite constellation, they're vulnerable to jamming if an adversary so chooses. There's two ways to do this. You need to protect your satellites by building them to be physically more resistant to such attacks, to warn if some other spacecraft is approaching them so they can move out of the way and evade an attack. And then the other half of that equation is the Space Force has to let adversaries know that we have the capability to disrupt their assets, even in a more damaging way than they could inflict on us. So that's deterrence.
Wow. Okay.
And we need to develop that capability. I think the Space Force has been.
Yep.
And I think we need to let our adversaries know that that's not an area where they want to challenge us.
Dr. Jones, thank you for all you're doing. I know in June we often talk about Asteroid Day. We'll have to have you back to talk about your book, but I'm grateful for your time and your insight. Thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks, Drew.
God bless you. It's Dr. Tom Jones, and you can check out his books, Skywalking, an Astronaut's Memoir. Also, Ask the Astronaut, a galaxy of astonishing answers to your questions on spaceflight. You can find him at astronauttomjones.com. Yeah, there's a lot to be concerned about, and we'll talk more about it. 66 million years ago, our planet experienced a catastrophic strike. Right? It caused a mass extinction event, the death of the dinosaurs. And scientists today, they're using supercomputers, of course. They've discovered multiple dangerous asteroids that can impact the Earth. And Dr. Jones has this mission to protect the planet from those objects. And I'm always grateful to talk to him. I've shared with you in the past what happened in 1908 in Tunguska. If I have time, maybe later today, we can revisit that, because that was very, very telling. It's an event that more than likely will happen again. But I'm going to take a short pause when I come back. Brian Birch will join me from Catholic Vote. We got a lot to get into, too. Tell you about about spies in the Catholic Church. Stay with me.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More information, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Back in February, did you hear about this? A whistleblower leaked a document from Richmond, Virginia's field office of the FBI, and it was telling. It talked about targeting what they call radical traditional Catholics. Have you ever heard of them? I've never met a radical traditional Catholic. Have you? Rad trads, as they call them, right? RTCs. They've been targeting these for surveillance because of the possibility they could be planning something nefarious. Really? I mean, I find Catholics to be very tolerant, very pro-life, you know. Now, of course, I'm sure there's in every population, whether you're Catholic or Protestant or Jew, there's somebody who's radical. But really, the FBI is going undercover? They had no evidence that something was being planned. Where's the evidence? Well, why are you going undercover? Right? They thought there could be something going on. So last month, the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, he appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee and the Republican members on that committee, and we played part of it on the air for it. They grilled Merrick Garland about, the FBI's maltreatment of the pro-life activist Mark Hauk, Senator, I think it was Josh Hawley of Missouri, asked him directly about the report from the Richmond FBI field office. And here's the exchange. Maggie, do you have that audio by any chance? We're going to play this audio for you if I get it. I'll bring it up. We got some audio on standby for you. It's well worth listening to. But there was a very direct question that Hawley asked when you hear this, in which Garland, hedged a bit on. And the Attorney General had good reason, I think, to hedge on it. I found it yesterday is because he was lying. He wasn't being truthful when he was responding to to Senator Hawley. Representative Jim Jordan, who chairs the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, they found that the FBI documents show that there was at least one undercover agent assigned to infiltrate mainstream parishes and dioceses. And the document was heavily redacted, but it revealed enough information to show that this is true. It was the case, and that they had sent people undercover. And he sent a further subpoena to the FBI for unredacted documents related to this. Did you find it, Maggie? Let me go back. I'll play part of this exchange again between Merrick Garland and, Senator Josh Hawley.
The district attorney declines to prosecute. The private suit's dismissed. You use an unbelievable show of force with guns that I just note liberals usually decry. We're supposed to hate long guns and assault-style weapons. You're happy to deploy them against Catholics and innocent children. Happy to. And then you haul him into court and a jury acquits him in 1 hour. I just suggest to you that that is a disgraceful performance by your Justice Department and a disgraceful use of resources.
So as you find out, they asked him in another clip, do you have agents undercover? And he said, I don't know. I don't think so. He kind of denied it, right? We're finding out that he did know. Just to give you a perspective on this, and Brian Birch can unpack it for us. We have a law enforcement agency of the federal government sending at least one undercover agent to spy on what's happening in places where you and I go to mass every Sunday, where you send your kids to religious education, where you go to confession, where you get prepared to be married, where you have your kids baptized, right? Think about that. Everything that Catholic churches do. I had heard that, you know, they were trying to infiltrate different levels. But Brian Birch joins me today. He'll unpack it for you. He heads up Catholic Vote. He's not happy with this revelation. They've been reporting on this, and he's here to join us today. Brian, good to have you with me. Thanks for making time for us.
Well, great to be here. Lots to talk about.
Certainly is. Let's talk about Merrick Garland first and that exchange with Josh Hawley. He wasn't absolutely clear that there were no spies. I don't think I had the right clip there that I wanted to play, being planted in Catholic churches. But unpack this, if you could. I mean, what do we know? How prolific of a problem is it? And why would the FBI, why would the Department of Justice want to spy on the Catholic Church?
Yeah, so there's a lot here, and some things I can say and some things I can't, because we are actively pursuing all of the intel here with sources both inside the FBI where possible, as well as ex-FBI agents. And the FBI agent that you referenced there, Kyle Serafin, yeah, was the ex-agent who leaked this memo. Wow. That was produced by the Richmond field office of the FBI. And of course, what this memo showed was that the field office had produced a memo that had authorized agents and analysts to begin monitoring Catholic parishes and also to begin cultivating intel sources, which means parishioners, priests, even bishops, who may be able to serve as sources of intel that could be used to identify and uncover so-called threats or domestic terrorist threats. Of course, this is blatantly unconstitutional. We have rules. We have the First Amendment. We have norms that the FBI is obligated to abide by. And what the FBI was exposed for doing here was essentially going into churches without any evidence and to begin spying on these churches as if these parishioners or Catholics were somehow domestic terrorist threats. What happened, though, is, as you suggest, the Attorney General appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee. He told multiple senators that they had no organized effort to target Catholics. He was explicitly asked, I think in the clip you were referencing, Josh Hawley, Senator Hawley from Missouri, asked him, how many agents do you currently have inside of Catholic churches? And his answer was, as you said, I don't know. And then he hedged and said, we don't specifically target Catholics. We don't specifically target religious Americans. Well, we now know that that's not true. Congressman Jordan and his committee had subpoenaed documents. The FBI finally sent those back, heavily redacted documents, so they took out practically everything. Yeah. But what was in there was an admission that they had authorized at least one, so we don't know how many more, agents to serve undercover to collect intel from Catholics. And by the way, they say in this memo, not just so-called Latin Mass Catholics or radical traditional Catholics. Right. They even say up to and including, quote, mainline Catholic churches.
Wow.
Which is a little bit ironic in the sense of the term mainline, of course, is a Protestant term that's used for mainline Protestant churches, sure, most of which have abandoned the Christian faith altogether. But so we have here a very interesting scenario that's now, as of yesterday, Congressman Jordan is subpoenaed the head of the FBI over this new revelation.
Let me play the audio. Maggie actually has the correct clip right now. And again, here's the exchange between Merrick Garland. Listen.
The FBI field office in Richmond on the 23rd of January of this year issued a memorandum in which they advocated for, and I quote, the exploration of new avenues for tripwire and source development against traditionalist Catholics, it's their language, including those who favor the Latin Mass. Attorney General, are you cultivating sources and spies in Latin Mass parishes and other Catholic parishes around the country?
No, the Justice Department does not do that. It does not do investigations based on religion.
How many informants do you have in Catholic churches across America?
I don't know, and I don't believe we have any informants aimed at Catholic churches. We have a rule against investigations based on First Amendment.
But apparently, on your watch, this Justice Department is targeting Catholics, targeting people of faith, specifically for their faith views. And Mr. Attorney General, I'll just say to you, it's a disgrace.
So there you have it. Is Garland lying?
Well, he either doesn't know what his own agent and agencies are doing, or he is misleading the public about what's happening. Yeah. And this is exactly why Congressman Jordan is absolutely correct to subpoena the head of the FBI to find out exactly what's going on. I will tell you, our organization filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the Richmond office of the FBI on March 6th. They have 20 days to respond to that FOIA request. We have not received a response. They have asked for an additional 10 days for what, quote, what's termed unusual circumstances. And we still have not received anything. And as of next week, if we have not received anything further, we do plan to sue the FBI in order to get this intel. And so you have this strange phenomenon here. And it, by the way, this is not just this Richmond field office. You start to connect the dots here, Drew, and I know you've done this on your show. We're starting to see a pattern. And the pattern has gone on, of course, for several years, but particularly with this administration, from the failure to prosecute vandalism against churches, to obviously the targeting of parents who are objecting to what's happening in their schools and referring to them as domestic terrorists. Just last weekend, the Biden administration cut the contract for Catholic services to military personnel at Walter Reed. What's going on here, I think, is very clear. If you hold to traditional moral beliefs, and certainly we as Catholics are the institution par excellence that at least claims to do that, albeit imperfectly, right, through our membership, you quickly are categorized as someone who's a threat to this country. And you're starting to see this, the kind of stretching of the domestic terrorism threat and the generic threat to democracy. It now includes many Catholics because of what we believe. And now we have our own government targeting us.
So where does this trickle down from? Who is giving the orders to set tripwires, some of the language that we hear using here, to put undercover agents into Catholic communities? Who's behind this that would say, you know what, we're concerned about these Catholics and we want to find out if something's being planned? I don't know what's motivating that or who is the authority to put that in motion.
Well, it's not a single person, although I think we have some good evidence that leads to where we think this is coming from in Richmond.
Right.
What I think it emanates from is pretty obvious, which is a left-wing ideology shared by this president, adopted by his administration, his cabinet officials, and those who are tasked with executing the responsibilities of the federal government, all universally share essentially a radical left-wing ideology that seeks to remake the country and certainly undo a lot of the foundations of this country that have roots in traditional morality, whether it be the family or whether it be biology and gender or whether it be patriotism or certainly whether it's traditional Catholic understanding of God and our responsibilities to God. You can kind of go down the list, and yeah, it's very obvious when you kind of look at the political dynamic we're seeing in the country that there is one side that believes that these beliefs and these ideas that were obviously the basis of Western civilization and our own country, by the way, a basis of freedom, are impediments to human flourishing. They talk about the patriarchy and the forms of oppression and institutional racism and all these sorts of things that are essentially, whistles for Western civilization, which is essentially the Catholic Church. And they believe that these ideas need to not just be confronted and argued out as we traditionally have as a country, but they need to be infiltrated and destroyed because they think the country is will be far better off where these ideas no longer held by any of us citizens.
Yeah. My guest today is Brian Birch. Let me open the phones too. If you want to get in, feel free to pick up the phone and give us a call, 888-914-9149. You can share your concern, ask your questions, share your perspective. It's 888-914-9149. I'll take a few calls with Brian Birch. Of course, he is the founder of Catholic Vote. Wonderful organization, credible resource that is really defending the faith and bringing to you the truth. And it's pretty amazing. You know, a lot of people don't get this in their mainstream media, but what you're able to do, what I try to do here as well, is give people a look at what's happening behind the headlines or what's not being reported. And I know you do that so well. If people want to check them out, just go to CatholicVote.com. As we watch this, and this story is pretty amazing. I think that they want to put undercover agents in Catholic churches. Is there anything that can be done about it? You know, we have a divided Congress right now. We have a president who is not willing to rein in this agency, even when it comes to targeting membership of his own faith. You know, he professes to be this Catholic. What can be done? I mean, thank God for Senator Hawley, and he's not even Catholic, if I'm correct.
Not yet, but we're working on him.
I love it.
Same with Senator Jordan. I think you raised the right question, is what can we do? Certainly it starts with publicizing it. So we need to have shows like yours talking about this more and helping Catholics to understand exactly what's occurring. And then we need our elected representatives to hold these agencies and to hold these appointees accountable. This is exactly what the Attorney General did when he went before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And incidentally, when he was asked about this, he used the word appalling. He was asked specifically about this leaked memo out of this Richmond office, and he described it as appalling for obvious reasons, and that's because it's blatantly unconstitutional. The government is not permitted to go into Catholic churches with spies and begin collecting information if they have no basis for doing so other than this might be a place where bad thoughts occur. The interesting thing in this memo, what did they cite as the basis for justifying this? The Southern Poverty Law Center. Of course, this radical left-wing group that has created these lists of hate groups, and of course, Catholics are often in these in their list. And so the Attorney General was right in saying, you know, this is appalling. Even the director of the FBI, when asked about it so far, said he was aghast at this memo and that they've removed it. Then here's the question. He's now been put on the record before both the Senate and the House. He has said it's appalling. He has said he has called for a commission to investigate what's happening. Our question now is, what's the status of that investigation? Has anyone been reprimanded? Has anyone been punished? And has anyone been fired? And those are the next questions that need to be asked of the Attorney General and anyone responsible.
Great, great questions. Well, I'll take your calls here, 888-914-9149. If you're just joining us, news is broken of undercover agents. At least one agent was used by the FBI to develop plans to cultivate sources in Catholic churches. I wonder if there were more. The agency was seeking to develop what they call new avenues for tripwire and source development. That's agency speak. As my guest today, Brian Birch, pointed out, they're looking at what they call mainline Catholic parishes among, you know, local diocesan leadership. The FBI, you know, wants to sensitize Catholic churchgoers to the warning signs of radicalization within the Catholic Church. I've never seen that. And maybe I'm just naive or myopic, Brian, but apparently that's what they think is happening here. I often wonder if this happened in a, you know, let me take a few calls. I don't want to go too off tangent here. David in the Twin Cities. Good afternoon. You are on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and I just got a quick question and then a comment for you. Do you imagine the outrage if this would have been a Donald Trump-led DOJ that had put somebody into a Muslim mosque or, you know, some other faith other than Catholic? it just, and my statement is very simple. There, the left, there's just no level. There's just no level to, no bounds to the hypocrisy of the left. None whatsoever. They just gave that up a long time ago. They're complete hypocrites. My father was an elected Democrat for 28 years, and he would be turning in his grave to see what his party has become.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, David. I'm going to let Brian respond to you. Brian, go right ahead.
Yeah, no, your caller makes a really important point. Number one, the double standard.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump, the Attorney General Bill Barr, which, of course, would never have done such a thing, had they done something similar to a Muslim church or to a synagogue, or a Muslim mosque or a synagogue, it would have been, you know, frontline news and call for hearings, and everything would have stopped until we got to the bottom of it. But here's an important point, though. The use of the Department of Justice to monitor and to investigate potential threats to the country has been used against Muslims in the past, particularly during the war on terror. And there was a very dangerous line there they walked. And the way they did this was they reclassified the monitoring as related to national security and international intelligence. And the line that allowed them to do some of this when they were, frankly, and I've learned this in the last couple of days, paying off Muslim imams in order to gather intel, was that they believed there was real terrorist threats occurring inside of these mosques. What they did, however, they were limited to gathering intel. What they were not able to do is use any of that intel to then pursue criminal prosecutions. And what's happened here is the FBI has now turned from a intelligence their authority under gathering intelligence to now gathering intelligence and pursuing criminal action against domestic citizens. Mm-hmm. And this is a very significant shift inside the Bureau that agents that we've talked to say this is unprecedented in what they're doing. They're now essentially violating our Constitution against our own citizens with no credible reason to do so.
Did you ever think we'd see the weaponization by the federal government of the Department of Justice or the FBI being used the way it is? To me, it's surreal. I almost don't believe it's true if I didn't see these reports and know that it is. I mean, we are living in a very strange time.
Well, I suppose we know we're supposed to live as signs of contradiction. So in any society we as Catholics live, we know at some level those in authority will probably not like us too much over time.
Yeah.
So in some ways, our kingdom is not of this world, as we're told. At the same time, we live in the United States of America,
right?
A country of huge historical importance, founded and certainly committed to this idea that the free exercise of religion, particularly within the intimacy and confines of a church, is off limits to government, to government agencies, particularly the FBI, particularly undercover agents that are spying.
That's crazy.
There's an interesting angle here, though, and you kind of mentioned it. In the memo that we did see that of the unredacted portions, they referenced there the efforts to reach out to and coordinate with, quote, diocesan leaders.
Yeah.
And I know maybe this is a bit provocative of me, but I can't help but wonder. We've seen a bit of a, let's call it, a conflict over the question of the Latin Mass, of Latin Mass communities, of traditional Catholic communities, even within our own church. This effort happens to coincide with some of the conflict we've had in our own church. And I'm wondering, and I truly do wondering, who is the FBI talking to at diocesan leadership level? Right. Are there priests? Are there bishops? Are there cardinals? We're certainly hoping to get to the bottom of some of that as well.
Well, we'll talk about it. I'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll go to the phones. We'll take calls. If you're on hold, we'll do our very best to get you on. And I'd like to hear more about your investigation, what you're uncovering, how people can follow what you're doing. If you want to get in, I have a few minutes left today with Brian Birch, but you are welcome to pull up a chair. The number, 888-914-9149. The FBI admits infiltrating more Catholic churches. This is the United States of America, a land where freedom and the free exercise of religion should always be upheld and protected.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More information, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your life connected.
Hey, it's great to be here with you today. If you're just joining me, a big news story, one that we'll continue to follow. We've invited Brian Birch from Catholic Vote to stop by. They've been the tip of the spear on this one, and they're unveiling that the House Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government has obtained internal documents revealing that the FBI has been using Catholic churches as potential sources of information on American citizens who practice their faith. And the FBI wanted to cultivate sources in the Catholic churches, unbelievable stuff. They wanted to sensitize Catholic churchgoers and enlist their assistance, I guess, to serve for, you know, suspicious activity. Committee Chair Jim Jordan, he's a Republican out of Ohio, he criticized the FBI for its lack of cooperation and partial response regarding this matter. And we played some audio between Senator Hawley and Merrick Garland, the Attorney General. And what you hear, what you read, what you're seeing here is, to me, Brian, almost unprecedented. It's really unbelievable that we in the United States of America are talking about an infiltration into Catholic churches. They should be hallowed. We'll go to the phones, grab a few calls for you. Kathy's she's joining us out of Chicago. Hi, Kathy, you're on the air. Brian, go right ahead.
Oh, hi. You know, I was just noticing this last confirmation class that I teach, that the transgender issue, and we had to sort of explain that we had so many militant kids in the group that I thought, isn't this interesting? If it weren't for their parents, I'm wondering if I would trust the fact that I wouldn't be revealed at some at some time in the future. It almost felt like the Nazi kids of Germany. I know that may sound, I don't mean to scare anyone, but the younger generation is has already been sort of formed in many ways with these public schools. And the public school graduating class, the CCD class, was almost double the size of the Catholic school class.
That's stunning.
So I was just really, you know, all those things coming together had given me this idea that,
yeah. All right.
You know, wow.
Kathy, thanks for teaching, first of all, and passing on the faith. Go ahead, Brian.
No, great. I think it's a very good comment, and I think sometimes we can be lulled into thinking that if we were to cite Nazi Germany or we were to cite, you know, egregious examples that were out of bounds. But this is exactly how these things start. Hitler didn't come to power and declare on day one that now he's going to do everything he ended up doing. They started in slow and subtle ways. And of course, we're nowhere near Nazi Germany, so I'm not trying to say that. But what I'm saying is the same types of things that occurred that led to tyrannical power and oppression of Catholics and the murder of tens of thousands of Catholics for their beliefs started because people of faith chose to not speak out, chose to not say anything, chose to not talk publicly and hold their government accountable. And this is precisely what I think we as Catholics have to take seriously today. We have to wake up to what's happening, lest something far worse follow.
Yeah. Corky in Atlanta, Michigan. Good afternoon. You're on the air, Brian Birch.
Thank you. Well, I think as Christians and citizens, we better be very much on our guard. This is a very lawless administration who chooses they choose to ignore rules and laws, you know, by the Supreme Court, for example, openly ignoring the law and choosing to support the abortion pill, as an example. So we cannot trust them. It's mostly Democrats, sorry. That's the way it is. But they are ignoring laws, and we better be very careful and very worried.
Well, thank you for that. Appreciate the call. Follow up on that. I mean, I don't want to scare people. Again, I'm just trying to understand the scope of this, Brian. You know, we're not seeing anything out of the Catholic president on this. Where are the guardrails on this, or who's holding these agencies accountable?
The guardrails are the U.S. Constitution and our elected representatives, including, by the way, our vote at the ballot box.
So we're learning, again, the hard truth that elections do have consequences.
Right.
And when certain candidates make it into office and they're able to appoint an administration that begins to turn a blind eye to these sorts of things, we have problems. So we have to take seriously our civic responsibilities. In the meantime, we do have the law on our side. The Constitution is very clear. There's a reason why Merrick Garland said that this is appalling. He has called for this investigation. We need to hold him accountable for following through on that.
Yeah.
We need to continue to demand that our members of Congress, particularly in the House of Representatives, where there is this committee that is investigating this, keeps this issue on the front burner. There's always this tendency in politics to allow news stories to come up and we start to forget about what happened last week, let alone last month. This has to continue to be a priority for us as Catholics.
So I guess a call to action for those who are listening. We can go ahead and, I guess, call our senator, our congressperson, our elected representatives and say, hey, we want you to be aware of this and, you know, we want you to do something about it. And you can simply call the Capitol switchboard, right? It's the best way to get a hold of your representative. You may not even know who it is. Just tell them where you're from and then leave a voicemail, leave a message or talk to them directly. That'll be great. What else would you recommend?
Well, the big thing here is there needs to be a groundswell of sentiment among Catholics themselves. We have the most to lose from this, and we should, regardless of your political party or disposition, we should not allow the government to encroach in this way. This is a story that you don't need to explain to anyone. Google it. You'll find it's being covered by CBS, Newsweek. Everyone's covering the story. So it's not some kind of inside the Catholic Church story. Share the story on social media. Share the story with your friends. You don't even need to comment. It tells, I think, enough. The facts speak for themselves.
Yeah, put it in your parish bulletin. That's another thing you can do in Catholic churches. Let the pastor know. Joe in Bristol, Pennsylvania, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. God bless you for all that you are doing.
Thank you, Joe.
Just to let you know, I am a speaker for Pennsylvanians for Human Life. I am a knight. I do a lot of pro-life activism. I also was a mayor, and I'm also a Democrat and a school teacher, just so you know that. First of all, the public schools right now are Satan's church. This is what the government is using to brainwash our kids, and parents need to be on top of this immediately. Ironically, as I speak to you, I'm on my way to Central Buck School District. Everyone out there, please pray for them, because there's going to be a prayer vigil in the parking lot because of what they're doing and naturally what we're talking about, okay, before their board meeting. So please, everyone out there, pray, and I know that'll be a lot of prayers.
Yep.
Here's the problem. The biggest problem with this is not the question, all the questions. It's the fact that if the way they're going after Catholics, as Germany did and many other countries, you know, maybe the Presbyterians are next. Maybe the Jews are next. The Jews are already there. The amount of respect that the Jews get with the synagogues and the defacing and everything else, you can see what's happening in our country. They are trying to get any speck of morality, religion, or ethics. They're trying to wipe it out, and they are now rewriting the book, their Bible, on the ethics and morals. And forget climate control, what this country needs, because we're on our way facing the same reality as Rome. Think about this.
Yeah, I agree.
When Rome started to decay, when all of its perverse actions destroyed Rome, okay, it's mercenaries. We have everything. We debase the coins. We can go on and on and on and give an hour lecture about that.
Yeah. But
we are in the same situation. Now we are destroying the very tenets of which our country was built on. Morality, a God, a sense of a higher being, okay, which is, you go all the way back to Plato. Yeah, if I'm saying Plato, I'm sorry.
No, Joe, you got a great point. I have a few minutes, so let me pause you there. You're right. I mean, in order for America, this constitutional republic, to be successful, it has got to be based on a virtuous people. Many of our founding fathers made that point in different ways. And you're parallel to the Roman Empire with expansion of border, overspending, a whole lot of things. There's a lot of parallels there. Brian, I'm going to let you respond to him. And I also want to get into how people can follow what you're doing. But we got a lot of phone calls here that want to get to you as well. So I'll give you the floor.
Yeah, well, you know, straight from the mouth of a former Democratic mayor. So this is not a Democratic issue. It's not a Republican issue. This is an issue that everyone should be caring about. This is not something that should be dividing us as a church. As many issues do divide us, this is something that should be uniting us. You know, it's interesting, we referenced here, you know, 1930s or Nazism. I actually went back and looked at the number of accounts of any time the FBI has used Catholics or looked at Catholic churches to in order to carry out its work, we could only find one real example over the last 60 or 70 years. And interestingly, the FBI was in contact with Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who was informing on Nazi sympathizers. And so these were actually real threats. But what that tells you is this is really unprecedented in the recent history of the modern era of this country. What's happening now is not some normal thing. This is not, something we should be comfortable with in any way.
All right. Jose in Chicagoland. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. I just wanted to say I'm flattered by this. If a government of this world comes after Christians, especially Catholics, that means we must be doing it right.
All right. I'm going to leave it on that thought. Brian, how can people get connected to you?
Well, the best way to keep up with what we're doing is to go to our website, CatholicVote.org. Sign up for our free email newsletter called The Loop. We'll keep everyone up to date on all that we're discovering. And you'll definitely want to stay tuned on this one because there's a lot more coming that we intend to share very soon.
Brian, thanks for being here. Great day. I wish I had more time. We'll have you back. We'll continue to track and follow this story. I am out of time for the day. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. If you want to share this conversation, if you said, oh, I got to pass this on. I want my family to hear this or somebody at work. Maggie will have our podcast up probably within the hour. So check for it. Share it for others. Share it with others. All right. Until we talk again, I'll say a prayer for you. Please pray for me. All right. God bless.